Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Manifest Telecast, and we're excited to share with you a very unusual message. This is something that, to my knowledge, I have never in my lifetime heard it preached on. I know it's been preached on, but I'm talking about personally. First of all, this is not a message pastors are going to get up on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night and preach. It comes out of the apocalypse, but it is so unusual. It's called Rumblings Within the Bottomless Pit. And I have been studying something for quite some time, and I'm not going to announce what it is. It deals with the underworld, some things that have been discovered that I have looked at, and I can compare it to Scripture. Very fascinating, but we're going to actually be taping a major DVD in the future. It won't be out this year, probably out next year, that I think is going to be absolutely stunning. But having said that, let's go to Revelation 9, 1 through 2. Let's begin. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Now, I want to say this up front. In the entirety of the Bible, which I've read through it many times, and I've read the apocalypse probably hundreds of times, chapter 9 in Revelation, the book of Revelation, is the oddest, most difficult to explain chapter in the entirety of the Bible. It talks about a bottomless pit. It talks about these creatures coming out of the pit. It identifies them as locusts, but yet they have hair like a woman, a gold crown on their head, stings in their tails. It is very, very strange. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but there have been people that have had experiences of dying in the hospital, coming out of their body, going into a place called hell, and they would see these similar creatures in the underworld area that almost are descriptive of what you read in Revelation 9. Now, I'm not going to touch that just other than to share that little tidbit with you. But in Revelation 9, it's the first part of the tribulation. There are seven angels that have vials in their judgments, I should say. Six of them are judgments. The seventh angel is the angel of transition. And so this is the fifth angel. The fifth angel has come down from heaven. He's identified as a star. The word star, especially in the Old Testament, but it's even in Revelation 12 where Satan, identified as the dragon, falls from heaven, and it says that his tail drew a third of the stars out of heaven and cast them to the earth. That's where we get the theological idea that a third of the angels of God fell with Satan. That's where that verse comes from in chapter 12. A star is a metaphor. It can be a literal star, or it can metaphorically be an angel or a heavenly being. We know that because in Job chapter 38:7, God says to Job, "Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth, when the sons of God sang together and the morning stars shouted for joy?" Now, the morning stars were not the planets and the galaxies and those twinkling lights in the heaven. They were the angels of God. So this star is an angel coming down with the key. Now, the word key, it can again be a word that's figurative or literal. In this case, it's figurative of authority. He has the key or the authority over the bottomless pit. You know, in Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I have the keys of death and hell." Well, the key again there is a metaphor for authority, because when you have the key to something, you have the authority to unlock it or lock it up. You understand what I'm saying? So you have an angel coming down with the authority over opening or closing something called the bottomless pit. Now, when the pit opens, this will manifest on earth in the tribulation period. There is a really dark smoke that comes bellowing out. Now, it doesn't say dark smoke, it just says a smoke. Now, when I think of this, immediately I start thinking about like a volcanic eruption. That's what I immediately begin to think about, as a volcanic eruption. So as I look at this verse and I see this smoke, I know that the smoke is coming underneath the earth. It's there with fire. And as the pit opens, this smoke comes up. And this is really, to me, very intriguing, because when volcanoes erupt, that you see the pillars of smoke that billow up. Isaiah 5:14 wrote a very interesting verse when he said this. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude. This is speaking of nations that are evil, and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Now, how does hell open its mouth without measure? Well, a mouth is an opening. And in my opinion, I'm going to give you my opinion. First of all, the Hebrew word enlarge means basically to make room, to widen, or to broaden. And I believe it's opening and broadening because in Psalms 9:17 it says, the nations that forget God, nations will be brought down into hell. So it's making space somewhere in the chamber of the underworld. This is my opinion now. And the volcanic lava that you see that comes out of the earth is coming out of the earth. And I believe it could be an imagery of caverns enlarging themselves somewhere in the lower parts of the earth, in the mantle of the earth. So there is fire, there's magma and so forth with volcanic eruptions. And this is how this is possible. Now, let me talk for a moment about the underworld. The underworld is the world that exists underneath the earth. Hell is down. It's underneath. It's beneath our feet. And you have the word Hades and you have the word Gehenna. Sheol is often used as translated as the word grave, but Sheol was also the underworld in the Old Testament. Hades and Gehenna are, you find Gehenna is a Greek word, for example. Then you have not just hell, you have what's called the lake of fire, which is the final place, eternal place where Satan, the fallen angels, and all sinners that are judged guilty at the great white throne judgment will go. And that's called eternal punishment. You can't change that. You can't say, well, that doesn't sound like God would do that. You can't rationalize that. That's what the scripture says. The third area, which seldom gets preached on, is called the bottomless pit. Now, the word bottomless pit in Greek is abyssos, and it is the abyss. The Greeks would talk about in their writings the abyss. It is mentioned in the New Testament, sometimes using different words. I'll explain that in a moment. The abyss is the place where fallen angels are confined. It is a place where Satan will be confined. It is a place where other forms of spirits, such as those weird-looking spirits described in Revelation chapter 9, are confined. Now, follow me carefully as we talk about this. Isaiah 14 is a reference to Satan. It's a reference to him. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit in the congregation in the sides of the north. So when you begin to read and you begin to look at Isaiah 14, it is about Lucifer. It's about Satan. But here's what's really, really important. In the scripture of Isaiah 14, 15, it says that this being, Lucifer, would be brought down to the sides of the pit. Now, we do have this allusion to the bottomless pit and how Satan will be confined in the bottomless pit in the book of Revelation when the angel comes down with the key. He confines him for 1,000 years. So here is the earliest reference to this pit that John later describes in the Apocalypse in the book of Revelation. Now, let's go in the New Testament. And let me show you something very, very unique. In Luke 8, 31, you have this man who is possessed by demons. But the demons said to Jesus, when Jesus was about to cast them out, they said, "Do not send us into the deep, send us into the swine." And Jesus gave them permission to leave the man's body. Of course, they had to leave because they were commanded to, and to enter into a herd of wild swine that were feeding. Now, in the King James translation of Luke chapter 8, verse 31, it mentions the word deep. It is interesting that this word deep is the same word used in the book of Revelation over and over for the phrase bottomless pit. What these angels were saying was, please do not send us into the bottomless pit. Do not send us into the bottomless pit before the time. That's a revelation. These demons knew there was a time they would be forever confined in the pit. It's found in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 15. And they will be confined with Satan. And they said, we know, don't do this before the time comes to do it. Now, I don't know what they know about the time coming to do it, because that's revealed later in the book of Revelation. But they know what their doom is. They know what their eternal destination is. And that's the point I want to make. So it's real interesting that Jude chapter 6, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 talk about fallen angels that are now bound in hell, but the Greek word in the New Testament in 2 Peter 2 and 4 is Tartarus. And the Tartarus is, according to the ancient Greeks, the deepest part of hell where the worst spirits go. So the angels that kept not their first estate, which would be the angels alluded to in Genesis 6 that went in, took on the form of men, came into the daughters of men and produced the race of giants, which is mentioned, by the way, by many of the early fathers. It's also alluded to in one of the books that it's not in the Bible, but it's a book that is quoted in the scripture in the book of Jude, the book of Enoch. He talks about the fallen angels coming into the daughters of men, producing the race of giants. And that is found in Genesis chapter 6, I believe it's verse 4. So these angels are now bound in Tartarus, which is a low underworld, in chains of darkness till the judgment of the great day. And they will later be cast into the lake of fire. And Satan, and this is the part that I want to get to, but when you look at Satan during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is called the millennial reign alluded to in Revelation chapter 20, it says Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, in the abyss, for 1,000 years. And it's very strange it calls it that the word is bottomless pit. And I'll save that for my teaching I'm going to do later on. I start to say I'm about to go into a deeper teaching, and then we're going to really have to get sidetracked away from the message here. But what do I mean by rumblings in the bottomless pit? All right, let's go into the future, into the time of what is known as the biblical Antichrist. And the Antichrist will be controlled by a spirit that has come out of the abyss. I want to read these verses to you. In Revelation 17 and 8, the beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, this beast is an empire of the past. I believe it's ancient Babylon. We don't have time to develop that. But let me read the Amplified, because this kind of amplifies the verse to where it gives you a kind of a clear understanding. The beast that you saw once was, but now is no more, and he's going to come up out of the abyss. That's the word there used in Greek, out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition or go into destruction. Some say the Antichrist being called the son of perdition. Judas was the son of perdition, by the way. But the Antichrist being a son of perdition, it could mean that he will go into the Antichrist in some way to control him. And the inhabitants of the earth, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will be astonished when they look at the beast, because he once was, but now is no more, meaning in John's day he didn't exist, and now yet is to come. And it gives a reference there, Daniel 7, verse 3. So there is all the past empires of Bible prophecy, whether it was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, whatever, they had a principality spirit over it. That is the seven heads of the dragon. Those are seven principality spirits that ruled prophetic empires, all of them affecting Israel and the Jews in some way, even as far back as Egypt, etc. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because in this bottomless pit area is a spirit that will be released during the tribulation that will work in cooperation with the Antichrist. And we find out a little bit more about this by reading Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. It talks about the bottomless pit, and it talks about those weird looking, I'm not going to describe them, it's take too much time, creatures that come out of the pit, right? And go forth to torment men for a year, and men seek death and they can't die. It's a terrible punishment, supernatural type of punishment that comes during the tribulation period. Now, the abyss, which again is located somewhere underneath the crust of the earth, and it could be in the mantle, it could be all the way down in the core area, but it's there. It says this: they had a king over them. These are those beings now coming out from the abyss in the future, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon, and that basically means destroyer or destruction. Now, here are the bottomless pit references, and I'm going to go through these very quickly. The pit is opened by an angel, chapter 9, verse 1. The pit, when it's opened, has smoke pouring out of it, chapter 9, verse 2. We're in the book of Revelation now. The pit has smoke that actually darkens the sun once it's released on the earth, chapter 9, verse 2. The pit has a king spirit over it. I would call it a king fallen angel in Revelation 9, 11. The beast, who is identified as the Antichrist, who is a man, will have a spirit that will come from the pit that will control him, chapter 11, verse 7. The beast descends from the pit, goes into the Antichrist, or influences the Antichrist, Revelation 17, 8. The bottomless pit is the place where Satan will be cast for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3. And these locusts, they call them locusts. They're not normal. You can read chapter 9 and figure out they are not normal. They're really, there's some type of a spirit being that manifests, but they torment men, and the pain is so severe that men, according to the Bible, will seek death, but they will not be able to die. So it's like, it would be like being bit by a poisonous snake, and you come near death, but yet you don't die. So the pain is very severe for this period of time. Now, it's a specific, this angel is a specific spirit that ascends that has been bound in some form that is called Abaddon or Apollyon to bring destruction on the earth. And he will do that through the spirits that are released in the future from the pit. So my point is, this bottomless pit is very intriguing, because if it would have said down in the pit or underneath in the pit, and it does say, it said Satan will be brought down to the sides of the pit, that would be one thing. But the word bottomless is fathomless. And it almost implies that a person, once they're in this pit, because it's bottomless, you're continually falling. You just feel like you're continually falling. No, stay with me. The earth is a globe, okay? If the entrance to the pit is here and you fail, all you would do is end up at the other side. However, if the pit runs a different direction, or it's circular, now catch my drift here, if that pit just is a opening, a cavern that's 25,000 miles around, all you will ever do is just feel like you're just spinning and going and going and going and never ending. Now, I won't elaborate on that, but because I'm doing a ton of research, very unusual research for a teaching down the road, on a DVD series or a DVD that will be presented on the Manifest Telecast. Now, the fact is this: early civilization began in the Middle East. The four rivers in the Garden of Eden were the I hope I get these right, the Euphrates, the Tigris, the Gihon, and the Pishon. Thank you, Pishon. So these are the four rivers of Eden mentioned, I'm getting older, mentioned in the book of Genesis, that were the boundaries of the Garden of Eden. Early civilization began in the Middle East. Some believe, and I have a theory on this, and it goes into Jewish history, it goes into writings, it goes into Hebrew word studies, that the actual original Garden of Eden was 1,500 miles square, and Jerusalem was the center of it. If you've never heard me teach that, it is really... it's an eye-opener, and you say, well, that's impossible. No, it's not. You have to hear the whole teaching. So never condemn a teaching, or never criticize. Please remember this. Don't go on social media and condemn, well, he said this, when you've never heard the teaching. I have people criticizing my messages that they've never heard before. How can you criticize something that you've never heard? Don't show your ignorance by making comments on something you've never even listened to yet. Well, somebody told me, oh, somebody could be wrong. Listen to it yourself. Well, that's a word for somebody out there. So the early area of civilizations would be those rivers. The Euphrates River, according to the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, has four angels that are bound in the river. When it says in the river, it doesn't necessarily mean what's underneath where the river flows, that will be released during the Great Tribulation period as well. Now, here's what I'm going to share with you as a nugget. Years ago, when I was doing some study on the bottomless pit, I began to understand the rivers. The Tigris is also called the Hiddekel in the book of Genesis. It's the same river. One is more Hebrew. One is more of another language, but same river. And the Euphrates. Now, these two rivers run side by side, and they go like this until they get to a certain area. And that area is the area of Bozra, and they join. And then they have one river that empties out into the Persian Gulf. Now, off of the Persian Gulf is an oil island named Abaddon. Now, remember, one of the names is Apollyon and Abaddon. But Abadan is an oil refinery island that when Saddam Hussein was alive, he fought the Persians or the Iranians over the access over this island, because when it's a refinery, it's worth billions. Probably through the years, it's worth trillions of dollars. And so I looked at this word Abadan, A-B-A-D-A-N, and then the fallen angel, according to the book of Revelation, is called Abaddon, A-B-A-D-D-O, and spelt with two D's. And I'm wondering if that could be some type of a clue, because when an oil refinery explodes, the dark smoke comes out, and it actually can hide the light of the moon and also the light of the sun. Just something to, that's just one of those things to think about. So here's what I want you to be aware of. I want you to be aware of that in eternity, that fallen angels, Satan, demonic spirits, and human beings, their spirit that was wicked, they had a wicked spirit, they had an unclean spirit, they had an unrepentant spirit, will all end up at the same place. It ends up in hell, they end up in hell, then they end up at the judgment, and then the lake of fire. Satan, of course, goes through that season of 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. There is a life, there are living beings under our feet in another world, in another zone. And so I want you to pray that Jesus Christ will come into your heart and life, that you will follow him, serve him, study the Bible, the Word of God, because salvation came through Jesus, so you would never have to see hell, but you would go to heaven, to paradise, to be with the Lord. So please serve him and accept him today. That's my prayer. Thank you for joining me. Keep watching. We have something special.
God has reserved the revelation of many prophetic mysteries for the time of the end, a time when knowledge shall increase. Daniel declared, "None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." This powerful truth is what inspires us to host an annual prophetic summit, bringing together America's leading speakers and revelators, all gifted in discerning and interpreting end time events. The 2025 summit featured 14 powerful services with 7 prophetic leaders that Perry Stone is now making available to you in this special Manifest TV offer. When you order, you'll experience these 5 insightful messages from Perry. Is Trump a reformer leading a great American reset? Feasting on the wrong blood, Christians that are fellowshipping with demons. Why is God shaking churches and ministries before the rapture? The vision, chastisement because of defiant Christians, the nomophobia strike. How angelic demonic wars in heaven are affecting weather on earth. Joseph Z illustrated his unique insights on the whiteboard with a revelation on the spirit of Elijah, the future of America. Bill Cloud brought Hebraic insight to the summit with these two messages. He is about to turn the tables over. He trains my hands for war. Mark Biltz used PowerPoint illustrations and charts to reveal Hebrew nuggets in his two teachings. Genesis mysteries from the Hebrew language. Birth pangs of the final redemption. John Kilpatrick posed the question, "The earth is speaking. Are you listening?" Plus, Jonathan Kahn expounds with a powerful message tracing the dragon's attack on Israel. And Mario Murillo hits hard with his message, "Away with the sissy false prophets." All 14 messages are now available on DVD for $95 and audio CD or USB drive for $65. This offer is also available for purchase as a digital audio download and video on demand when you visit perrystone.org. DVDs and video on demand include all PowerPoints, whiteboards, scriptures, and illustrations shown by the speakers. You'll receive over 14 hours of prophetic teaching, an investment in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Your purchase helps Perry Stone Ministries continue a global outreach. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Include your check and the appropriate offer number. For DVDs, use offer number 25PS-DVD. For CDs, use offer number 25PS-CD. And for USB drive, use offer number 25PS-USB. If you love biblical prophecy, this could be your greatest spiritual investment in 2025. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
It is always exciting when you can hear a word from the Lord that you know is fresh, that it stirs up your spirit in anticipation of what God is going to do. And also, it keeps you informed so that you can inform others. Now, I want to suggest something to you. These are great for home Bible studies. These are also great to share with someone and say, you need to listen to this, all right? And it comes in audio, and it comes in DVD format. The DVD has, of course, the pictures and the PowerPoint. This is just the audio message. 14 messages. The end of the end is arriving, the 2025 Prophetic Summit, also the MP3 player. And I want to suggest to you, because this offer will be ending soon, if you haven't done so yet, please invest in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's one of the greatest things you can do. And when you're informed and someone asks you a question, you will have the answer. So many people are asked questions. Well, I don't know what the answer is. Well, start learning, reading, hearing, listening, taking notes, and get yourself filled with God's Word. Speaking of God's Word, all you folks in Texas, you know where I'm coming to. I'm coming to Willis, Texas, the 15th and the 16th, Friday, all day Saturday, at Family Faith Church, Willis Campus. Sunday, August the 17th, all day at Huntsville, Texas. And we're looking forward. That's Family Faith Church as well. And you can go to perrystone.org to get our itinerary. You can also go to perrystone.org to check out our online store. We have so many products that we can't even take a fourth of them to the meeting. There's so many resources that we have available. We still have our Old and New Testament available. Commentary, the Bible has the commentary in it, and so many other things. So don't forget perrystone.org, Perrystone Ministries Facebook page, and the Perrystone YouTube channel. God bless you. The final times and seasons are now upon us. Experience the best of prophecy and revival this coming fall. It will be myself, Perry Stone, Jonathan Kahn, Joseph C., Tommy Bates, Billy Burke, Lyndall Cooley and his worship team, Karen Peck and New River, beginning Tuesday night, October 7th through Saturday, October the 11th, with the great fall festival at the end of the day. I want you to register for this at perrystone.org if you know that you're coming and there's no fee to attend. So I want to tell you that this is going to be, in my opinion, the most significant conference we've ever had, with the best prophecy and a healing service Friday night with Billy Burke. Go to perrystone.org for information.
Help amplify Perry's message and ministry by joining the Partner Strike Force today. As Perry's partner, you'll be supporting multiple outreach programs from Perry Stone Ministries. You'll also receive special access to premium events and materials, such as our Partner Strike Force website, live-streamed prophetic updates, and more. Go to perrystone.org and sign up today.